You're listening to the StudyClicks podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier. Welcome back to the StudyClicks podcast. Today we're back recording in person again. So exciting.
Yes.
On this episode, which is going to be about oral exams. So my name is Aisling and I'm joined by Andy.
Hello, everyone.
And Erin.
Hey.
And we're on the StudyClicks' social media team, so you might recognize us from there. This episode is going out the week before the oral exam, so we thought we'd chat about some last minute tips. Can you guys remember how you felt the week before your oral exams?
I was pretty terrified, but I've always been a very anxious person. So, like, you know, that was a me thing. Like, I've kind of always been the type of person to, like, get really nervous for, like, anything I do in life. Mm. But, yeah, like, I think, you know, there's so much kind of pressure put on it by everyone around you. Like, it's hard not to be kind of,
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was nervous about these. I was generally chill about leaving cert in general. Not really. I was really stressed and stuff as well, but not horrifically.
I lied.
Yeah. but for the orals, I was almost more nervous because I felt like it could be awkward. And that really got to me because I was like, I can have a really awkward conversation right now with this person. And it's like somebody else is seeing me do my leaving cert right now. That doesn't happen in the actual written exam. You're on your own. If I mess up, like, no one sees that. I'm truly scaring people so much here. It was fine in the end, but I was nervous. Yes.
No, I think I had way too much main character syndrome to be worrying about whether it was going to be awkward.
Went in there.
Yeah, like worrying about the other person. Yeah. Well, I think it's also nerve wracking. It's the first, other than projects, it's the first thing that actually counts, towards a leaving cert.
Because
It is an actual exam.
Yeah, kind of exciting.
Scary.
So, obviously, the only subjects that have oral exams are languages. Mm-hmm. Our feelings on languages. Which languages did you do?
I love languages. I did Spanish and Irish.
And Andy?
I did German and Irish. I also enjoy languages. Yeah.
Yeah, I did German as well and Irish.
Good.
I actually did French for my junior cert.
You swapped?
I swapped because my mom is Spanish, so I had Spanish already. So I did for the leaving cert then.
So how's your French?
Not great. I want to learn it again though. Like, I miss being able to speak French. It's a really nice language.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't really miss my languages, not gonna lie.
I miss German. Sometimes I do Duolingo for 20 days and I go, this is great, and then I forget. But I would love to be able to speak another language properly.
Yeah. Well, I miss Irish.
I wish I could speak Irish properly. Aaron's pretty good Gaelgore.
Our resident Gaelgore.
Our resident one.
I do enjoy the Gaelgore.
Yes.
Yeah, she puts us all to shame.
And so then did you have Spanish natively,
Well, not really. I spoke it, Spanish was spoken to me from the time I was a baby. So, I grew up, hearing it, but, we don't speak it at home or anything. And, I'd only really speak it, if we went over to Spain. So, now it's not. It's not bad, but it's not great either. I can understand it pretty fluently, but it's just my speaking is kind of not really up to scratch.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know. Did that help at all, the run up before the exams? Comfortable with Spanish?
You just chat to your mom, did you do that?
I chat to her before, the lead up to it, and she'd help me a lot. And obviously I'd be actually focusing on learning it. So I was pretty confident at that stage. My oral went really well and it was kind of a breeze, but. Yeah.
You're getting humble. Any tips on how to make it a breeze? Or that's inherent to you?
How'd you get there? Love to know.
Have a Spanish mother.
Or a German father. I doubt a German father, but someone does. Somewhere.
Everyone divorce your parents and get adopted. I didn't have a German mother, I think in terms of tips for calming the nerves, I always felt remembering that the examiner wants you to do well. They're not trying to trip you up. Because I feel it's really daunting when you go in there. But my experience from going into the oral exam was that I felt that they were trying to direct the conversation in a way that would help me.
Yeah.
I think they can see panic on your face when they've asked you a question that you don't know the answer to, or when you don't want to be there, or you don't want to be there in general, probably.
I've waited
as long as possible. But I think they can see, I think there's something in the eyes. Why are you doing that? And then I'm going to ask you something else. Or Yeah.
They're not there to make your life worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking of panic in the eyes, I actually, in my
oral...
in my oral exam, in my Irish oral, I remember I, like, messed up because she had asked me, like, what did you do last summer or something? And I always used to get mixed up between, like, the words Shahugan and Shakacha. Is that next summer and last summer? I don't know. Either way, I, like, started off into my spiel on what I did last summer. And after about 30 seconds, I realized that she had asked me what I was going to do next summer. Mm-hmm. And okay. I just had to stop and be like, actually, and then, like, went along. But, I mean, it is a good example of, like, just because you mess up a little bit, it's, like, not the be-all and end-all. No. Like, you can mm-hmm. correct yourself.
Oh, 100%.
And, like, they will... like allow you to do that and like be fair and like
yeah.
I still did okay in Irish, so
I think they can realize when you've made mistakes as well. They can just gauge your general level of the language
yeah.
throughout the oral. So even if there's little things that mess up little bits here and there by accident, overall they can see your level from how you speak in general, I think. So I wouldn't be worried about little mistakes and stuff like that.
Definitely. Like, it's so easy to trip over yourself if you're a bit nervous, but like you know, especially if you do go back and correct yourself, like that's a great sign to examiners because it means that you're aware of the fact that you've gone wrong and, you know, you want to correct yourself. So, like, don't be put off by correcting or, like, don't feel like you can't do it because you absolutely can and, like, you shouldn't lose marks for it.
Yeah, true. Also, be confident in the prep that you've done, guys. Yeah. Mm. You got this.
Okay. Can't get a German father.
So, Erin, do you have any tips for, like, how to maximise your marks in the oral exam?
Yeah, so I would say to really focus in on, like, the kind of smaller things that can secure you marks. Like, I know everyone always focuses on, like, you know, learning off the straw picked doors and things like that. And obviously that's super important. And, like, you know, most of the marks in the oral goes to the Cora and the straw picked door. But, like, little things like reading the poetry at the start of it, that alone is worth 35 marks, which actually is more than the written poetry question on paper 2 because that's only 30 marks. Yeah. So you get more marks for reading off a sheet. Crazy.
That's what made it a breeze, everyone. Right there.
So, yeah. So practicing that, like, you can literally bring in your own sheet with you to the exam with, like, any phonetics or anything that you might need to help you out with the pronunciation or things highlighted or whatever. And, yeah, just, like, keep practicing it over and over again until you have it off really, really well. And then, like, that's basically 35 marks that you have secured once you've gotten that right. And that, like, gives you a great starting point for your oral because it's one of the first things you do when you go in. So if that goes well and then you're in a good place then for the rest of it.
Absolutely.
And things then, like, in the Spanish oral, you do a role play as well. I think when I did it, it was 1 of 3, but I think it might be gone up to 5 now. But it's, like, you know, that's worth 30 marks as well. So if you practice things like that, like, you have kind of more control over, whereas, like, the conversation you still have control over, which I think people don't realize how much control you have over the general conversation.
Definitely.
But, like, as in things that can guarantee you marks, I think definitely put a lot of emphasis into prep for that.
Yeah, that's great advice. Andy, do you have anything?
Well, I have a wonderful point to add to that. I don't know if you've seen the YouTube videos, and there's, like, I think there's videos in City Clicks as well of people reading out the pronunciations of the poems and stuff.
City Clicks boost, guys.
Yeah, shameless plug. But yeah, I think I found the sillier you feel doing the Irish poem, the better. That's actually been referenced in some of my TikToks when I do, like, the Irish aura ones of people, like, reading it and, like, when they're like, "Given" and all this. Don't do it like that, but I mean, like,
can you give us an example?
Yeah, please. Live action.
Hantig Sheban. That was Holskara. Okay,
that's quite.
I see the pronunciation was well. Okay, breezy. Or what was the start of game? Envy me. Yeah. Wherever you go, envy me. Envy Alta. Yeah. No one's going to want to hear that. You know what I mean? There's extra marks there for you.
Fake it till you make it.
So, yeah. But no.
This is the real advice
on a serious note.
Going
with confidence. Actually, don't be scared to give it a little bit of.
Pizzazz.
Judge the performance. Yeah, that's what gets this. Yeah. It's like 35 marks, did you say?
So yes.
They've got to come from somewhere.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if the examiner is listening to people saying it all day, like, timidly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to stand out. Yeah. You go, "Hantig Sheban." Or you go, "Kursara." But yeah, and I have a funny little anecdote as well about, we were talking about examiners and how they're not there to, like, kill you, or they're not the enemy.
Let's hope they're not going
to
murder you.
I don't think anyone thought they were going to kill you, but yeah, they're not the enemy. I think you could also should try to do anything you can to get them on side. Prime example, when I had my examiner, I'm from Dublin. My examiner was
unfortunate.
From Cork. Yeah, so, yeah, my examiner was from Cork, and I could tell this pretty early on. So I kept bringing Cork up, and then I kept saying like, oh yeah, like she was like, have you been to Cork? And I was like, yeah, I love Cork. Now I have a bit of family in West Cork somewhere, so I've been once or twice, but I just really hammered home that I love it. And she was like, yes. And then there was also my Irish, where I was going to study, or I was going to do an audition for my college course straight after my Irish oral. So again, I just kept telling them about, or I think it was, they were from Cork. I just kept telling them about, I'm going to audition in Cork, I'm going to audition in Cork. And then my German, I had my German, and my audition wasn't after that, but I lied and said it was, and it worked as a great story. So yeah, get the examiner on side by like any way possible. Find out where they're from.
Say you love it.
Or if they like something, then say, yeah, I'm into that, as long as you think you can talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. Just onto like steering the conversation, like directing it. I also like remember being told to, and I think it's good advice, is to like learn off the basics really well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like just rattle through the basics for as long as you can. Like give like your dog's eye color, like, you know, everything. Go through the basics for as long as you can until they stop you. So like minimize the chance of them asking you something rogue. Mm-hmm. Also, I think like bring up, well, not rogue things, but like the hard grammar yourself, because I think if you like drop in the Mokanilook, they're less likely to ask you a dedicated question on the Mokanilook.
Mm-hmm.
And like then you can control it.
Yeah, because kind of just taking a box, like have they
done it or not? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't do that because I couldn't use the Mokanilook. So
that's okay.
People will be in that boat too.
Skill issue.
We're not all breezing through. Okay. I don't know. How many times can I make that joke?
Next tip, learn the Mokanilook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Tishul Gunajuk, yeah. Something like that.
No, is there like Briha Ser or something? Is that a thing?
Sarah Briher. Yes.
Sarah Briher. Yeah.
Exactly that.
Leavenstert Maths doesn't have to be a struggle. With over 500 step-by-step video lessons, exam-style questions, and expert marking advice, StudyClicks Boost makes higher and ordinary level maths manageable. Get guided support on algebra, calculus, probability, and more, all at a fraction of the cost of grinds. And right now, you can get €10 off with the code PODCAST10. Go to studyclicks.ie and start making maths easier today.
Yeah, I think that's important, like, you know, bringing up as much as you can yourself. Like, ideally, you don't want to have any moment in your oral where you're just kind of like sat staring at the examiner. Like, you kind of want to be in control the whole time, unless, you know, the topic kind of naturally comes to a close. You don't really want to like run out of things to say if possible, because the more time that you can spend talking about things that you want to talk about, like you said, they're less likely to bring up something, you know, that you mightn't be as prepared for. But if that does happen, like, that's not the end of the world by any means. Like, you know, like you said, the examiner is just, they're not there to ruin your life, they're there to have a conversation with you. And so, like, don't be intimidated by the things that they will ask you. And if they bring up something that you either have no interest in or no knowledge about, or, like, you just don't want to talk about it, you can and probably should change the conversation. Like, don't feel any obligation to answer their question because you think it'll, you know, show that you don't have, like, that your Irish isn't good enough, or that you know. Like, that's absolutely not the case. Like, if I asked you now, Aisling, like, to describe... I don't know, like the current like economic status of the country. Yeah. Like, would you answer that in English? Probably not.
Well, I do study politics. So
well, okay.
Maybe.
What's a better example?
No, but like, yeah, if they ask you, do you play sport, and you don't play sport, don't try to be like,
don't
look
like Gaelic.
Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Change it. Yeah.
Yeah, but exactly. Like, I'm not going to lie and sit here and be like, yeah, I play Camogie, and I, you know, because that's not true.
Yeah.
So like, there's no point like just talking for the sake of it about something that you've no interest in. So, you know, be as honest as possible, and just like, if you don't want to talk about something, like, have a phrase prepared and be like, oh look, like, to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of information about that, but I'd love to talk about this, and then like launch into your own thing, or like kind of, you know, you can control it a lot more than you think you can.
Yeah, it's always great to have like some of those phrases in your back pocket, like, can you say that again? Or like, I didn't understand that. Can you say it in a different way?
Yeah.
It's always great to have that.
I think they're crucial. And I used to love when I was doing Irish, my like favorite things were like little phrases that I could write in essays and in like orals.
Yeah.
So these like work in your essays as well, but like little fillers or little things that like make you almost seem more fluent, or just makes the conversation like sound more natural. So like, some of my favourites were like gone error sir be, or gone doubt, which is like, you know, without any doubt. And then like kind of F McConter, so like if they ask you a question, you're like, To be honest with you, it's like you're letting them in on a secret and all this. Or Maradona Mejana, as I said before, you know, all these wonderful things. And then they're just like, oh, Mohan Bukal. And they're just, internally, they go, oh, that was a little bit of,
he's a natural.
I wasn't expecting that. And they're like, is he fluent? And all of a sudden, yes. So yeah, I know phrases are very, because you can use them in your essays as well. So I double up on and have a huge bank of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like they're a good way to like just easily bag marks.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Because so many of the marks in your oral go towards your like fluency, obviously, of language and how you kind of communicate yourself rather than like maybe what you talk about.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, bringing up those phrases like that, to help improve your fluency and your language proficiency mark is really important. Like another thing I think people don't realize is it's really important to practice your verbs so that you know how to properly respond to questions that you're being asked. So like most common ones are, if you're asked on will, the answer is tha or neil, not sha, which I think throws a lot of people because that's kind of your standard response that a lot of people would just kind of be conditioned to give. But I think it's important to make that distinction because like you can pick up loads of like marks just from that like tiny little thing, and then like on row being the or in the row, for example. And just like your verbs in general, like know how to respond to them. Because that's so much of your conversation is just like using verbs. So yeah, just in general, like little things that can boost your language mark. It's really important to just kind of work on those.
Yeah, that is good practical advice. And it was done to you for your actual exam as well. You need verbs for everything, guys.
You do.
Yeah.
So with that, we're going to go into some questions from Instagram that we got in because you guys are so full of questions.
Some of our loyal fans.
So, Erin, as our like language expert, what does a H1 oral look like?
Well,
breezy, apparently.
Breezy.
Anyways, a H1 oral. So I think, like, obviously it's normal to be nervous, but, you know, make a good impression with the examiner from the minute you walk in. You do your five little fall-to questions. So, like, obviously, like, your name, your address, your date of birth, whatever else you're asked. Just have those down, easy five marks. And then, obviously, if you have a good poetry reading, that will leave a great impression on the examiner from the get-go. And then just come off confident. Show that you have control of the conversation, obviously. Make as little mistakes as possible, but like, you know, just have things prepared that you want to talk about, that you're interested in talking about. Be able to kind of like move from topic to topic, like linking with what the examiner is saying to you. So like if the examiner says to you like, oh, like, I can't think, like, what, how do you feel about maths? You'd be like, oh, I really hate maths, but I love Irish. And then talk about like, I don't know, for example, like just be able to show that you have like that kind of initiative to move to whatever you want. Yeah. And then with the Shra picked, or like it's honestly just a matter of like learning off your key phrases and just getting as confident with them as possible. Like so much of it is just like, honestly, most of the prep work you can do for your oral isn't just learning things off. It's just building up your confidence with the language and, you know, familiarizing yourself with it. It's also like how you respond to their questions. So like training your ear to become used to different dialects is a big thing because you don't know where your examiner is going to be from. Yeah, just becoming confident with your use of the language and building it up over time. It's not something that can just be done overnight. And, you know, learning off big paragraphs and things is fine. And it's good to have like a basis for where you want to go. But it's probably not the most sustainable thing in the long run. And if you do just build up that confidence with the language, you're more likely to do better because you can have a lot more freedom and direction and with where the conversation goes. And that'll really help your mark.
Yeah, I think it definitely doesn't like work as easily as it does for the written exam to just like learn things off completely. Like you definitely need to actually like have experience listening to the language and like speaking it. That's why I think like podcasts and things are like great to listen to. There's quite a few Irish language podcasts. Well, yeah, but no, but even like I think there's How to Gael, like there's girls
there's
who
so
do it
many
in
of
Irish.
Them. I remember I'd have like loads of Irish podcasts on all the time just when I was doing my leaving cert. Like, I mean, even the likes of TG Cahir, Radio na Gael, they're like things like that just to have on in the background to kind of, you know, build up that, like train your ear is really good way to boost your mark over time.
Or you could even watch the Study Click's full run through of an oral exam.
That is great advice, Ashley.
Wow. Anyways, moving swiftly on. I was going to ask Andy this, but he seems to have no anxiety ever.
That's not true.
Well, maybe actually, how do you manage your anxiety? It's well managed. How do you do that?
Well, great question. It was specifically for the orals.
on theme.
In life. Yeah, I'd say a big one is like, I talk about a lot of like mindset and stuff, but I still think if you go into the oral thinking that like you're in a lot more control than I think you are, or like, because you can direct the conversation a lot, and a lot of it is like, if it's going somewhere you don't want it to go, you can stop that from happening. So I think realizing that you are actually in control can take a little bit of stress and like anxiety out of it, because then it's like, okay, well, if I don't want something to happen, I can actually almost prevent it a little bit. I mean, obviously you're going to make mistakes and stuff, and like coming to terms with the fact that you will make mistakes, both of those things I think are like key to like reducing anxiety. And then box breathing outside the room, as I've said on this podcast before. In for four, hold for four, and then out for four. It actually reduces your heart rate and stuff. There's also loads of little things you like hit your, if you're sitting outside the room, you hit all these things, and there's like nine different receptors or something in your body, and you like, it's like where your pulses are. So if you go like this and you're like heart's going crazy and you can struggling to breathe and stuff, if you go like that, it like straps everything down because it stops the blood flow, like interrupts it.
I was gonna like make fun of you for doing that, but it's kind of wholesome advice. I can't. I think we also got, should you learn off script? So I think we've kind of answered this, like, not ideal.
Like, it's good to have like a plan for where you want to go if you're asked about something, and like topics that you want to talk on or touch on, and you know, like little phrases here and there that you do want to throw in. Like, definitely, there's no harm writing out a script and kind of sticking to it loosely, but I wouldn't recommend learning off one in its entirety, because then if you like forget a sentence or, you know, like that, if you're asked about something you haven't prepared, like, it really is just going to throw you off rather than help you. So I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, you can't only be confident with the stuff you've learned off. Like, it's not great to be totally stumped. What topics should you prioritize?
Well, I would say prioritize your kind of standard ones that are like personal to you. So like things like yourself, your family, your area, your school, your hobbies. What else is there? Like things that you yourself have an interest in. Like, I know that people tend to shy away from things that are more like current affairs related or whatever. But if it's something that you want to talk about, like, you know, prepare that. Like, you can almost always find ways to bring things up in the oral. Like, if it's something you really want to talk about, like, you'll find a way to get it in there. So yeah, I'd say to focus on like also your like plans for what you want to do after the Leaving Cert, or things that like that you did last summer or next summer, you know, like your basic kind of things like that, that you know, like that you'd ask somebody in small talk, you know, like, like if you were getting to know someone, just think of like what sort of questions would you ask them. And then, yeah, anything else that you want to talk about yourself that you would feel comfortable with, I would prioritize things like that. Don't go learning off like sentences for like the rise in hate crimes or something.
The rising.
Don't do that either, unless you have an interest in it. But it's probably unlikely to come up. So
I also think, like, be a little bit strategic. Like, don't, like, even if you have an interest in politics, maybe don't bring
probably
up politics,
because
you're like, you're like opening Pandora's box. They could ask you anything. Like, it is kind of a safer bet.
You're better off focusing on the easier things. And then, like, if something difficult does come up, you can actually just be like, Tabarón, I'm Neil Moran, see mom. It's an option.
Exactly that.
Sauce.
Yeah.
In Irish, of course.
Yeah. And then I guess the last question is, what happens if I say something in the wrong language?
Apologize. Yeah.
That's
and move
so
on swiftly.
Fine. Examiners see that happening all the time. Like, you're literally doing two orals, like within like what, a day or two of each other a lot of the time. Like, it's so easy to get mixed up. Like, that happens to me all the time. Like, I've been speaking Spanish longer than I've been speaking Irish, and anytime or half the time when I'm trying to speak Spanish, like, a word comes out in Irish, and that's not even with the stress of an oral. So like, when you're panicking, like trying to figure out a phrase, trying to think of a phrase or whatever, if another language, like, just apologise and move on. Like, the examiner will probably laugh about it and not address, like, you're not going to lose marks because you said, I don't know, like, a phrase wrong, like, in a different language. It's not a big deal. Like, the examiner won't even count it.
Yeah,
so
it's all
don't stress.
Being
at
able
all.
To recover, I think.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. What about you, Andy? Did you say anything in a wrong language?
I actually didn't. Not that I remember. I'm perfect in every way, so I didn't. But, not that I can remember. I think it's just, exactly. Realise that everybody makes mistakes, and don't let it throw you off in the moment, because if you make a big thing, like, you're going to tell everyone, oh my goodness, I told everyone I spoke in the wrong language. It'll actually be a really funny story, like, you know, down the line. Yeah. Maybe not that day, but yeah, remember,
but
it happens to everyone.
Like,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, you won't.
I'm not going to go, they spoke in German, -20.
Unless the examiner hates German, you never know.
They might
be a trigger. Yeah.
They might.
They probably don't. They love languages. They love you. Yeah. It's fine. Okay, maybe not that. Maybe they don't love you. They don't know you that well. But
they're not the enemy, and they're not there to kill you. Yes. As established.
They are on your side, and they want you to gain marks. They don't yes. want to take marks away from you, so remember that.
Yep. They're a lovely, new, helpful acquaintance. And
on that note,
that we're going to finish up. Thanks so much for listening, guys. If you've gotten this far, thank you for that too. As a treat for our podcast listeners, you can use the code podcast10 for 10 euro off any StudyClix upgrade. If you found this podcast helpful, please leave a review or share it with a friend. You can rate it wherever you're listening to it. And hit that notification button so you're the first to know when a new episode drops. We will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.